Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I'm going to get into the marketing. We're going to kind of jump into the marketing and not do such a long monologue. I know I can get ranting really easily. And so one of the things that obviously I have to tell you is this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. Now, we have a comment line, and it's 425-270-5416. And we want you to actually send us your comment. Any questions? I know, you know, they say no question is a dumb question. The question not asked is probably the dumb question. But you're more than welcome to reach out, contact us, and let us know what you think, how we can improve, or what have you, right? So as we try to move forward together, we don't want you to feel like, well, I want to talk to you, but you have to, you know, I want to talk to you live. Well, you will talk to me live, especially if you really have an issue or a matter that really does require this dialogue. Now, one of the things I need to let you know on administratively, we're going to be diving into the ratification debate. So I'm telling you this in advance. We're diving into the ratification debates on the 29th of March. And we're going to, you know, dive with, you know, kind of setting the stage and going into the ratification debates. And the reason why I want you to do this, or the reason why I want to tell you this, so you'll be prepared so that you can prepare yourself to record or mark down the days that we're doing this. So that way you can download all these podcasts. If you want to be able to edit, do audio editing so that you can actually cut out the promos that we put in there, go get yourself a free copy of Nero's Wave Editor. It's really easy, and I think it's intuitive. I think you can easily find the promo breaks, cut those things out, and save yourself, what, 6 minutes or something like that? Or, yeah, about 6 minutes. And then you'll just actually have me talking, going into break, coming right back from break without any, you know, without any promos. And, you know, enjoy the content. What we're trying to do is we're trying to give you an audiobook. Now, this isn't perfect reading audiobook because yours truly does have pronunciation problems, especially with some of these words deputed or some of the names. And so, by all means, you know, poke me in the eye for my failings, but the intent is to give you and make you literate, give you the full understanding of how important these ratification debates are and what these men state in these debates. This is legally binding terms and definitions of the Constitution. This is our national treasure. This is the most important thing that everybody that loves and wants to save the Constitution must know, and they must understand and must learn. And so this is why we do this in a huge block. It'll probably take, last time I think it took 7 weeks when we did this. I won't be going into the impeachments, but we will be going into like exclusive legislation, because we want to drive some of these things home so that you understand that when they say, oh, we have exclusive legislation, carte blanche, no, they don't. And we're going to dive into, you know, all of these facts to prove the federal government is doing things they have no constitutional authority to do. And when you have that as a legal high ground, and the whole point is that the states have the ability to come together and force the federal government to compliance, and nobody in government power or the globalists or anything like that, none of them want you to know this. They don't want you to know that you can actually undo everything that they're doing. Boy, I mean, you got to understand, they got trillions of dollars and world domination in their grasp. What is it going to take to get you involved? Right? I mean, where are we going? what are we going to be doing? But I did promise you that we're going to try to dive into headlines, news, and all sorts of good stuff. So we were just getting into this when we kind of ran out in our last episode. And so G. Everett Griffin, and once I do this one story with G. Everett Griffin, we'll get back to a couple more. But there are some issues that are kind of going on that I think we need to have the conversation. We need to be talking about some of these other things that may not be reported in the Need to Know News that I think, you know, at least I'm going to expound upon them. So G. Everett Griffin reports regarding the national indoctrination system. The White House has set a goal of reopening 50% of schools across America for a minimum of one day per week. Students are falling behind scholastically, and this is where I kind of took a break and said, hey, these kids, if they're falling behind scholastically, I don't see it, because most of the stuff that they're learning has more to do with the supporting their narrative of secularism and indoctrination towards, you know, sexuality, social engineering, and everything else. I did throw out at the end of the show, yaymath.org. Now, I want to emphasize this because I've actually told kids that were kind of having problems. They didn't like Common Core math or what have you, and they have gone to yaymath.org, and they came back with smiles on their face. And they go, man, this is so good. This guy is awesome. And so I told him, make sure you download the exercises so that once he kind of goes and explains factoring and explains exponentials and so forth, and algebra and geometry, this is math, right? Anyway, I told him to download. Oh, I didn't know he had those. And I go, yeah, he has these exercises. Go through them. And then you can actually, you know, go back and take the, you know, that same class. And these aren't long classes, but they're very good and they're very effective. Why? Because this guy loves teaching. And you're going to find other people. And folks, if you have on YouTube an educator that does a real good job with history, with English, with any of the basic essentials, that actually has a good curriculum out there, like yaymath.org, or anybody else that's out there on their own websites that are teaching sciences and so forth, please let me know. I want to share it with everybody. I want our kids to have the best education possible and not, you know, buy into the social engineering and the crap that they're calling scholastics. Atlanta is requiring mandatory summer school. Jesse Waters' report reveals that over $100 billion has been spent to reopen schools. They're spending money on something that should just be happening because it's already in the budget, but they have to spend extra money. Folks, we're being robbed, and the teachers' union is just taking advantage of America and this huge trough of this indoctrination system. I have a real problem with this. I mean, it is just wrong for somebody to, you know, actually be able to maintain their job and do nothing. I've always had a problem with that. You should be compensated for the months you work and actually not have any pay when you're not working. Anyway, so the $100 billion has been spent to reopen schools, but the biggest school districts are still closed due to the pressure from the teachers' union. Teachers are paid even when they don't teach. And so, that, like I told you, I have a real problem with that. So before I get back into some more need-to-know news, one of the things that I think that is really, really important, that we need to understand how our constitutional rights are being denied, is the closing of the Capitol. Now, when Bob Schultz went to do this petition, he was unable to directly connect. We have a right to have access to our representatives. That is our government. And they're violating. So the Constitution is clear. The Bill of Rights is very clear that the federal government can create no law that hinders, infringes, or restricts our ability to petition our government. And what have they done? They basically closed it down. And now they're saying that the Capitol is on a heightened alert due to these potentials of this, you know, extremist, radical Republican extremists that are going to come and storm the Capitol And the fact of the matter is as we look back at the supposed siege of the 6th of January, it was in the testimony yesterday, that not one person that was arrested had or possessed a weapon. So where is this extremist? Where is this threat? We are being bamboozled, and all they're doing is they're maintaining this fear of the progressives, or those who, you know, that actually buy into their crap and believe this stuff on the mainstream news media. I think what has to happen, and this is why we actually have a strategy of doing this, we just need the funding to do it. And like I told you, we've already got somebody that's financially going to back us, but there are things that have to happen, so we can't do anything. But one of the things we want to do is we actually want to start running advertisements in the main, not the mainstream news media at first. What we want to do is we want to first get the conservative news media, One American News, Fox, Newsmax, WorldNet Daily, these types of news agencies that a lot of people go to, and start advertising, even on The Blaze, and let people know, hey, you know, everybody out there may be, you know, ramping your anxiety up because abortion is continuing, or federal government overreach, you're going to take your guns, all of these types of things, because it is getting like drastic times and people are going to resort to drastic measures. You don't have to. We have the solution. We need your help. And so in getting that message out, we'll be right back after these two promos. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so actually, the way I should lead into this story, because I actually talked about this back in January when some of these sovereign citizen movements and everybody else was saying, Trump is going to be sworn in as the legitimate president on the 4th of March. Well, that was yesterday. And so what was interesting is this news story actually broke yesterday, or I should say this started actually hitting the mainstream media at a high clip, that there's these new concerns. And this is a quote from, what is this? I think it's Chicago, ABC News. News are new concerns about lethal persistent threat of white supremacist domestic extremism in wake of Capitol riot. Well, it's interesting because there was this possibility that Trump was supposed to be sworn in. Anyway, and as far as I know, there's no proof of that. I haven't received any proof of that. But what I told you back in January was that Trump is not a legitimate president, just like Biden is not a legitimate president, until either the Electoral College is put aside and Congress actually chooses the president. We do not have a legitimate president. Anyway, so Chicago is reporting a new intelligence report from U.S. Homeland Security, the deep state, puts Americans in the crosshairs of anti-government extremists for months. The harrowing DHS report comes as FBI Director Christopher Wray, deep state operative, before the Senate Judiciary Committee meeting chaired by Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, Wray faced tough questions about the FBI and their intelligence handling and leading up to the hostile takeover, when Trump partisans and domestic terrorists, this is how they're labeling people, and the rhetoric is only going to go up from this, but how these terrorists invaded the halls of Congress. Based on your investigative, this is the question that was asked, based on your investigation so far, do you have any evidence that the Capitol attack was organized by, quote, fake Trump protesters? We have not seen evidence of that at this stage. And that's what he said. That's what Wray said. The rhetoric is going up. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to justify. This goes back to the Constitution, my friends. They're trying to justify violating the Constitution by keeping the people from being able to petition government. And when the Constitution says the federal government, I want you to be very, very clear. I'm going to actually read the First Amendment for you. We do this all the time, but Congress, but I always insert the federal government because now that the Supreme Court and now that the president are legislating in violation of the Constitution, the federal government shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. So we have a right to peaceably assemble in our public spaces in Washington, D.C. At the Capitol, there are public spaces for assembly. In the, what do they call that? In, you know, the reflecting ponds and it's the mall, the Washington, D.C. mall. That is our place. We have a constitutional, it's a, to be clear, the federal government shall make no law respecting the right of the peoples peaceably to assemble. Now, have they created a law? Have they put up barriers and said you can't do this? They are in violation of the Constitution. Their hands are tied. They cannot make a law that says we can't assemble in the people's owned mall. That is our mall. It is our government. This is a government of the people, not the globalist elite and those who've actually put Biden in office. Or to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And so, do you get it? Do you now understand how, and I know I'm getting really passionate here, but this is very important. They have no right to locking down D.C. We have constitutional rights to peaceably assemble there. They can't stop us and they can't make a law about it. And what they're doing is a direct violation of the Constitution. Okay, so I need to have a phone call with Bob to get him to do another petition of both Congress, the Supreme Court, and the President, because they're all supporting the shutting down of D.C., which means the federal government is making laws to restrict our ability for peaceable assembly as well as petitioning government. Sorry, they can't make any law. They can't create these restrictions to say, well, you got to go here, and we have a right. This is the people's government, and we are the sovereigns. And our state legislatures are our sovereigns as well. Anyway, I just want you to know that this really chaps my backside. And because this kind of just came out, this wasn't really in the news yesterday. But now all of a sudden they want to make this news. I find it ironic that it happened to actually coincide with what the conspiracy theorists said, oh, well, Trump is going to be sworn in on the 4th as the legitimate president, as the 18th or something like that. Anyway, as we move forward in the progressive agenda, I'm not sure, but cities now, and there's a city in California that is banning gas pumps. They're demanding that everybody, and you know California has already stated that they're going to ban gasoline in that state. Well, you know, states are sovereign, but they can't play that type of economic warfare against the other states. If they want to sell gas, they don't have a right to restrict commerce from other states being able to come in, buy gas pumps, and be able to sell gas. And so Petaluma City created a resolution that they are no longer allowing new gas stations to be built in their city. And one of the things that really bothers me is that there have been electrical companies that are working together to create charging points. Now, here's my problem, that if electrical companies are creating a co-op of creating charging points, and as far as I know, there are cities and states that are giving free charges to electrical vehicles to help sustain them, why is it that people are not suing these cities and states for not doing the same thing for petroleum-based cars, diesel and or gas? They have no right to take the money of the people and subsidize those who want to get aboard their agenda and not do that for everybody else. This is wrong. It's unconstitutional when government starts actually picking who they want to support and how they want to support it. I mean, it's one thing to, you know, to protect your strategic interests, but it's another thing to take a political agenda that takes one side over another. That is absolutely wrong. There's no strategic interest in political agendas. And so, anyway, another thing that actually came up in the news is that there is this new ruling that the Supreme Court has actually come out with, and Justice Amy Coney Barrett authors the first U.S. Supreme Court ruling, a loss for environmentalists. So supposedly a win for conservatives, and you may want to go out and read her ruling because this is her first as a Supreme Court jurist. As we move forward, and let me see, how much more time do we have? We have about 2 minutes. One of the things that, you know, we probably want to share with you as well from the Need to Know News, and this one basically, you know, continues on the education. This is G. Edward Griffin regarding this education and some of the money that is coming from the federal government. In Chicago, there were about 2,000 cases of fraud last year, including billing fraud, payroll fraud, and even preschool fraud. I want you to understand, this is a cartel. The education system is like organized crime. Vacation homes were traded for fat contracts. The Chicago Public School CEO is under house arrest pending resolutions of charges of steering contracts and pocketing $2 million in kickbacks. An official with the union is accused of funneling $1 million to politicians who lobbied to keep schools closed. Understand this? They want to keep on taxing you. They want to keep, you know, everybody in the school system with their pays and benefits moving, where everybody else in the private sector, because of these draconian tactics. What is the most powerful union in the United States? It is the teachers union. Yeah, I want you to understand this. This is a very insidious and evil organization. It is a cartel. It is organized crime. Anyway, G. Edward Griffin continues on and says, an official with the union is accused of funneling $1 million to politicians who lobby to keep schools closed. Companies run by Democrat donors were awarded lucrative contracts, you know, whether that be for the facility upgrades and those types of things. You know, they just passed a levy where I live for more money for the schools, for schools that have been closed. Am I not livid? And you should be too. Chicago announced the schools were ready to open in November, but they're still closed to this day. Do you know what's going on? We are being fleeced. As a matter of fact, I think Stossel was, you know, used to run a show. I think The Fleecing of America. Was it Stossel? Anyway, I don't know who did it, but I know that that used to be, you know, a pretty popular show that was doing all of these exposés on how government has been fleecing us. And this institution called education, under the protection of government, is allowed to operate like an organized crime or cartel. Anyway, we will be back with more Need to Know News right after this. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so we're heading that forward with a pretty good clip here. And so, and I don't mean clip like video clip. I mean at a good pace. And what I haven't done is going through all of this stuff and recognizing just how all of these institutions, like the teachers' union, all of these things, the corruption, how bad does it really have to get here in America before you recognize that your culture, your government, and everything that you believe sacred regarding liberty and freedom is being stolen from you by those that are in power? What is it going to take to get you to be that little contributor as a part of the ICBM to actually annihilate this problem? Be a part of the solution. This is why we ask you to take a little time. Do you take time to entertain yourself, to go to games, to, you know, to spend time going out to the park and so forth? If you're doing that and doing nothing regarding the preservation of your liberty, then I'm going to ask you to just take a minute to ponder your priorities and ask how important it is that you be able to do those little things that you are left to be able to do, because soon you may not even be able to do those because you may not be considered one of those that are worth allowing to stay around. Things, fascism and totalitarianism is a very quick tidal wave that devastates cultures and societies. And we are looking at the formation of that tidal wave. Come on. History proves these things. We don't have to revisit and actually prove the adage that those who do not learn history and try to prevent these things are doomed to repeat them. Now, here is something regarding identity politics. And just so you understand, you might be one of those persons that will be identified just because of your demographics as the enemy. Where are the uniters in taking a stand of this identity politics that is further dividing of America? As a matter of fact, I've actually seen right here in the Spokane area, where we actually had the GOP and all people that are considered white conservatives go after an organization that supports the Constitution, is trying to actually, create an education and helping people understand the importance of liberty and what the Constitution does. And these people were labeled as white supremacists. And because they had an affiliation allowing somebody the freedom of speech to talk about identity politics and label lynching, and because this person, where there was no evidence, but it doesn't matter. Right? I mean, we should be able to all be able to exercise our rights of freedom of speech. And they went after and basically harassed these people to where they were unable to do anything. They basically resigned and so forth out of the Republican GOP. And what makes you think that you won't be next when the tidal wave of totalitarianism hits our shores? G. Edward Griffin reports, the principal of the East Side Community School for students from the 6th to 12th grade recently sent white parents a manifesto that calls on them to become white traitors and advocate white abolition. Wikipedia identifies Mark Fetterman as the school's principal. According to a chart sent out by Fetterman, there are eight white identities. You've probably seen these things on social media, where on one end of the scale is a white supremacist and on the other end of the scale is a white abolition. And I am telling you that this insanity is gaining traction because it benefits other people at your expense, at our expense. There should never, ever be a movement that benefits one demographic at the expense of another or at the expense of everyone. Anyway, and just, what is it going to take? What is it going to take to get you involved? Accompanying the text previously circulated by this left-wing extremist demands that white people, quote, subvert white authority, close quote, quote, dismantle institutions, dismantle whiteness and not allow whiteness to reassert itself. Teaching of racism has become a commonplace in American schools as children are now being taught that the white race is intrinsically evil. A deeper analysis of this issue leads to an awareness that teaching racism, no matter what race is the target, is part of the globalist scheme to cause the target race, in this case in America, the white race, to recoil in anger against other races. Divide and conquer is the end game of this strategy. I want you to understand, when somebody says America has this intrinsic whiteness and racism, then you actually, take them, hold on a second. Are you telling me that Japan is not intrinsically racist because they have, all of these advantages? I mean, how diverse is Japan? How diverse is, Egypt? Or how diverse is Lebanon? How diverse is Iran? Are you telling me that this is a systemic problem here in America only? Or is this a natural occurrence in every culture around the world? Oh, well, now, the fact is that those people who live in whatever country for generations and generations, that culture and people tend to seem to have this advantage, especially in contrast to other people, migrants or what have you. However, in America, compared and contrast to every other society in the world, why is it that all of these other people from these other societies want to come here to America to have an opportunity to break through barriers that they can't break through in their own country when they know they have that opportunity? Because America doesn't stack the card deck against any particular race and doesn't stack the card deck for any particular race. Doesn't mean that there aren't people here in America, but we're the only society that actually embraces all. We have a melting pot paradigm. No other society has that. And this is completely ignored, and actually it's brushed over by these, I'll just say, pernicious people who are trying to subvert our form of government. Anyway, remember that social workers were going to replace the police? Remember back in the summertime where that mantra started happening? Well, so they got rid of all these police in Minneapolis, and now, and this isn't the only place, but G. Edward Griffin is focusing on what's going on in Minneapolis after they fired all these people, because guess what? They're going out to hire social workers and give them guns, and this is not how G. Edward Griffin's reporting it, but I am telling you that the people that they're going to hire are going to be people that are going to be what I will call social workers and or social engineers. They're going to give these people guns, and I think what's going to end up happening is you're going to find these new employees that are supposedly police, because they can't get social workers to do the job, but these people that they're going to attune towards these sensitivity issues are going to be ending up getting killed, because they won't be taught and they won't understand the importance of asserting authority and enforcing the law. And these guys that are going to be trying to be the negotiators at the knife fights, they're going to end up with a knife in their chest or in their back. Anyway, G. Edward Griffin comments and actually reports, the Minneapolis City Council unanimously approved a request for $6.4 million to hire, this is in dollars, to hire law enforcement officers just months after voting to strip millions from the police budget following the death of George Floyd. Since then, the size of the police force declined significantly, and there has been a surge in crime with a 250% increase in gunshot wounds, 22% increase in rape, and 59% increase in robbery. Now the city council wants to hire police. I'm going to tell you that the paradigm has not stopped. They want to hire police, and instead of having social workers, well, they're going to make these police quasi-social workers, and it's going to be the police that will end up, like I said, getting knives in the back and so forth. Here's an interesting, take on G. Edward Griffin's recent Supreme Court decision, how they declined to hear a dispute over whether it is unconstitutional. Now, I want you to listen to this, and if you understand the petition and the lawsuit that Bob Schultz has put out that we have on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, go to our petitions page and look at this. It's looking, and so the Supreme Court declined to hear a dispute over whether it is constitutional to count absentee ballots that were received up to 3 days after the election. So we're going to get into this, because why is this important? This is really important for you to understand, my friends, that what we are suing Congress over is their constitutional violation. We're not trying to get involved in the election laws, election fraud, all of those other things. Congress violated the Constitution. And these lawsuits that is hitting the Supreme Court have no base. We'll be right back.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so anyway, as we were kind of talking about the Supreme Court and hearing, I want you to understand what they're looking at. They're not looking at constitutional violations of the Electoral College. You know, everybody says, oh, we've already tried this. The Supreme Court is turning these things down. Show me where anybody is charging Congress for failing to reject an unconstitutional electoral college and allowing this unconstitutional electoral college to choose the president, when the 12th Amendment clearly requires that Congress choose the president when the electoral college can't. Okay, so anyway, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote, quote, "One wonders what this court waits for. We failed to settle this dispute before the election and thus provide clear rules. Now we again fail to provide clear rules for future elections," he added. Now, remember, the states are sovereign over their election processes, but only the legislatures have that sovereignty. Anyway, quote, "The decision to leave election law hidden beneath a shroud of doubt is baffling. By doing nothing, we invite further confusion and erosion of voter confidence. Our fellow citizens deserve better and expect more of us. I respectfully dissent. President Trump's Supreme Court picks Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett voted with the liberal wing of the court not to hear the lawsuit." Now remember, when these folks were being selected, I told you that there is really no justice out there. I mean, Scalia was pretty consistent on standing on the principles of the Constitution. And then I already told you in a previous episode, I really like Clarence Thomas. But most justices, and even Clarence Thomas doesn't understand, you know, at least I don't think. I have to have that conversation with him. But I'm going to be of the mindset that he's never read the ratification debates. He doesn't look at the Constitution as a compact at the states of the parties and so forth, because these guys are trained in the classical training of the progressive view of the Constitution. So anyway, do not think that just because Kavanaugh and, you know, Barrett and I forget the other guy, and I'm really bad, especially that's a bad name for me to try to pronounce, right? The guy that starts with G, Gorsuch. Anyway, don't think that we have a hardcore constitutional Supreme Court. We get bamboozled in how, you know, certain support or the cry against. Remember Kavanaugh? Kavanaugh was being railed as the evil person, you know, by the progressives. And here he's actually supporting and taking a progressive position. You know, evil is good and good is evil. At least that's how they're trying to create this perception. Anyway, one of the things that's happened in the news, and I don't know if you knew this, on Wednesday, the House, and this was the headline, that the House passes this sweeping bill. In other words, it's just like, you know, this huge win with this overwhelming victory. The House on Wednesday passed the For the People Act, a sweeping bill that seeks to change campaign finance, voting, and ethics law. The bill would expand access to the ballot box by creating automatic voter registration across the country, restoring the voting rights of the formerly incarcerated, expanding early voting, and modernizing America's voting systems to be computerized so that more software can manipulate the outcome. The House measure passed by 220 to 210, with one Democrat joining the Republicans in voting against it. Isn't that interesting? Now, how is this so sweeping? And the way they talk about it in the headlines and the way it just seems like, wow, this was a huge victory. I am telling you that this law itself is unconstitutional. They do not have the enumerated right to dictate the manner of how elections are to be done. It's clear in the Constitution that state legislators are to basically, you know, be the ones to direct the manner of selecting for the president and other elections. States are sovereign. Here's an interesting story that actually Washington Times ran. Just taking a quick break from G. Edward Griffin, Regional News. If you didn't know, the U.S. productivity, and I'm sure they're probably talking about this, the U.S. productivity fell at an annual rate of 4.2% in the fourth quarter. Now, this is the largest quarterly decline in nearly four decades. So the fourth quarter was what? Well, that was October, November, December of last year. And so what was happening? Why all of a sudden productivity dropped? Well, people were out because they were given, so that there are these laws that employers must give employees time to go vote and other things. And so because of the election, we saw a huge decline. I am here to tell you that there are going to be certain sectors of our economy that are going to have an increase, but the majority of the sectors in our economy will actually suffer, and we'll probably see a increase in the declining of productivity. The revised figure released by the Labor Department Thursday was slightly smaller than the 4.7 decline established a month ago, but it was still the biggest drop since the second quarter of 1981, when productivity fell at a rate of 5.1%. Labor costs rose at a 6% rate. Now, I want you to understand what they just said. Labor costs rose at a 6% rate. Ask anybody that you know that is working, ask them, have you gotten a pay raise? Did you get a 6% pay raise? So how is it that labor costs went up 6%? Oh, the states are charging in more taxes on labor. So anyway, as we start really putting two and two together, because, hey, if these guys are the ones making the money and we have less people making money, we have to increase our taxes on those making money. This is the pure principles of socialism and communism. When you have less people, you know, producing, then you have to take more money from the producers. Anyway, this is going to actually continue, and it's not going to get any better. And the question I have, because I need to do this, for me to be effective in marketing, I have to, after each story, just tell you, what's it going to take? What is it going to take to get you active, engaged, and involved in the solution? Moving on, productivity is the amount of output per hour of work. The revisions reflected the fact that the government made changes to its estimates, gross domestic product, the country's total output of goods and services, to show an increase of 4.1% at an annual rate in the fourth quarter, slightly higher than its initial estimate of the 4% growth. For all of 2020, productivity rose 2.5%, up from an annual gain of 1.8%. Now, the last quarter, it fell. In recent years, productivity growth has been exceptionally weak, and I wonder why. And the economists are uncertain about the cause. Analysts say the finding way to boost productivity in coming years will be critical to raising our basic, you know, living standards and so forth. Some of the things that are going to be coming, because you got to understand that the airline industry has been decimated because, you know, they're creating all these mandates. They're becoming the puppets. And as a matter of fact, if you haven't heard, United Airlines wants to be the leader in mandating, and they want, they basically, to get the federal government to mandate that all airlines and every employee for the airline must be inoculated with this virus. So because these things are happening and because they're decimating themselves, because they're embracing these progressive policies, the airlines are actually embracing policies that are destructive to their business. So guess what's coming? They're going to be asking for a bailout. Hey, we're doing everything you want us to do. We're being your cheerleaders for the communist movement, so we need money because we're losing. We're going to go out of business. This is not only unconstitutional, because there's nowhere in the Constitution where the federal government has the ability to give welfare, not to individuals or corporations. There is no enumerated power for the federal government to hand out welfare. But this also violates the Constitution regarding the uniformity clause, because not every state has its own airline industry. And the airline industry, which, you know, I think Dallas and maybe Chicago, I mean, there's just certain cities that have a high concentration of where these airlines are headquartered and so forth. Bottom line, this means that the federal government, in bailing out the airline industry, is only providing relief for these particular states when they're not even supposed to be able to pick, you know, winners and losers, or more importantly, they have to treat each state equally. That's the uniformity clause. They're not supposed to create any extra burdens on one state while they're giving another state an advantage. And who do you think pays for this? Well, the states that aren't getting anything, which offsets the states that are. Anyway, we have to start taking a stand on when the federal government feels that they can shred and dance and rip the Constitution. We have to start taking a stand on this, whether we like it or not. Are you willing to put aside your self-interest? So if you're in the airline industry and you're saying, hey, this is good, we need a bailout, we need to go, but you want to support the Constitution, you're a hypocrite. You can't talk out of both sides of your mouth. It's either constitutional or it's unconstitutional. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.